bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Reiner, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today, we're going to take a moment and look at some very basic biblical principles, along with their scriptural references, that we need to remember and act upon when we face difficult economic challenges, such as when we are unemployed and looking for a job. We need to remember that believers are not exempt from these kinds of challenges, and it's important for us to respond in the appropriate way. We hope this is going to be a blessing for you. Today, I want to share with you some basic biblical principles to remember when you find yourself unemployed and looking for a job. Several years ago, I came across this information, and I have to confess, I do not know who the author is, but I do know that these basic principles are solidly anchored in the truth of God's Word. Now, in order to truly understand and appreciate this, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that when it comes to God's judgment of a nation, quite often that judgment is felt among the body of Christ. In very natural terms, just because one is a believer in Jesus Christ does not mean that they are exempt from the problems, the challenges, and even the dangers that marks life in a fallen world. I tell people consistently, Christians hurt just like other people hurt. We feel pain, just like everyone else feels pain. We experience the loss of loved ones, just like everyone else does. We bleed, just like everybody else. We get sick. We face hardships. In that respect, we are no different. And again, when it comes to God judging a nation, and I think all of us would agree that God is judging our nation. It seems to be very clear. And although I would suggest that we as Christians, as the church, we are not innocent in this matter. We are very culpable because of our failures as the body of Christ to live as the children of God in a way that honors Him and transforms our society. Our problem as the church is that we have turned our backs upon God, and we have allowed so much of the world to come into our lives so that a lot of times there's not a marked distinction between us and the unbelieving world around us. So when very challenging economic times develop, it's no surprise to discover that even Christians can face these challenges and can lose jobs. And so we need to learn to respond in a biblical way, to trust God, and to give a clear demonstration of God's truth and our faith to those that may need to see it and learn it and apply it to their own lives. So these are the principles that I want to share with you. Number one, God is good and merciful to His people every day. Psalm 86 and verse 5 says, "For You, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon You." Number two, God takes care of His people's needs every day. Psalm 37 and verse 25, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread." Number three, God is in control every day, not people. Psalm 118 verses 8 and 9, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1. "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." Number 4. "God is not limited by my age, qualifications, world economic conditions, or any other such things." Psalm 92 verses 13 through 15. "The righteous flourishes like the palm tree and grows like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. "The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world." Number 5. God blesses prayerful obedience in a diligent job search. Psalm 90 and verse 17. "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open." Number 6, God has His plan and His time, and I need to patiently trust Him. Genesis chapter 45, verses 7 and 8. And God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And finally, number 7, I need to act in a way that is consistent with belief in the above principles. That is, number 1, God is good and merciful to his people every day. Number 2, God takes care of his people's needs every day. Number 3, God is in control every day, not people. Number 4, God is not limited by my age, qualifications, world economic conditions, or any such like things. Number 5, God blesses prayerful obedience in a diligent job search. Number 6, God has his plan and his time, and I need to patiently trust him. And once again, I need to act in a way that is consistent with belief in the above principles. Now, regarding this last principle, there are several things that we need to keep in mind. First of all, when fearful of my own inadequacy, remember David's wholehearted trust in the Lord in spite of his lack of weapons and the overwhelming strength of Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 31 through 54, we have these words. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shaaraim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Second, when tempted to compromise your beliefs, remember Daniel and his steadfastness in honoring the Lord in spite of the ultimate pressure to bow to the king. In Daniel chapter 6, verses 18 through 28, we have recorded these words. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them, and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote, To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Third, when intimidated in interviews, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's poise and confidence in the Lord. They did not flatter or fear the king, but trusted the Lord. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 18, we have recorded these words. Therefore at the time certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Fourth, when encouraged by good interviews, referrals, etc., remember Joseph and his misplaced hope in the baker to help him get out of prison. Put your hope in God, not in people. In Genesis chapter 40 and verse 14, we have recorded these words. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. Number 5. When discouraged with setbacks, shattered dreams, apparent failures, and rejections, remember Joseph's whole life and his perseverance as time went by in prison. Information regarding this point can be found in Genesis chapter 38 all the way through chapter 50 that emphasizes that even Joseph, who was a righteous man in the eyes of God, faced difficult setbacks. He became very discouraged, but he persevered. He kept on going. Number 6, when overwhelmed with responsibility and money running out, remember Habakkuk and his trusting response to the frightening possibilities in front of him. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, we have recorded these words. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. And finally, when tired and sad, and unable or unwilling to do the next thing, remember Nehemiah's sadness, but then casting his cares on the Lord and asking the king for help. In Nehemiah chapter 1, we have recorded these words. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you, and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the furthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Again, these are words of encouragement. These are biblical principles to remember. When you face difficult economic challenges, when money seems to be running short, you have obligations that you have to meet. When you're looking for a job, think upon these and act in accordance with what we as Christians claim to believe. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to his lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.